Good morning, everyone. I want to thank each of you for tuning in with us here today. My name is Eric Hicks. I am the minister for the Hiawatha Church of Christ and the Sabetha Church of Christ. At the Church of Christ, our goal is simply to be New Testament Christians. The way we accomplish that is by speaking where the Bible speaks and remaining silent where the Bible is silent. If that is something that you have been searching for, we invite you to come and join us for worship service. In Hiawatha, we are located at 3rd and Osage. We begin on Sunday morning at 8:30 for Bible study, 9:30 for worship service, and then on Tuesday evening, beginning at 6:30, we have our midweek Bible study. In Sabetha, we are located at 3rd and Oregon. We begin on Sunday morning at 10:15 for Bible study, 11:15 for worship service. At 5 o'clock, we have our evening worship service, and then on Wednesday evening, beginning at 7, we have our midweek Bible study. If you're in the area, we would love to have you come and join us for worship service, and let us be New Testament Christians together. This morning we are going to be looking at the subject matter of forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of those items that seems easy to do, easy to achieve, until we're actually wronged. Once we are wronged, we can find it very hard to want to extend that forgiveness to that other person. And so as we look at this subject matter, it's a very important subject matter in dealing with our walk with God, because we cannot walk with Him and hold grudges against others at the same time. And so we're going to be looking at the idea that we certainly must be a forgiving people, and that is according to the Word of God, as we're going to open the Scriptures and look at that here in just a moment. We want to look at what does the Bible teach us about forgiveness. And so we're going to look at three different aspects about our forgiveness that we extend to others and why we certainly do. The first of these is in Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Jesus, within this context, is giving the Sermon on the Mount. And this is right after he gave the Lord's Prayer. And within the prayer, we remember he said these words in 11 and 12. He says, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And then if you go down to verses 14 and 15, Jesus gives the commentary on what he had just said, and there in verse 11 and verse number 12. He says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And so one of the reasons why we want to be a forgiving people is because we ourselves have sinned against God. We certainly want Him to extend forgiveness unto us. And Jesus tells us very specifically that if I hold a grudge against anyone, if I harbor unforgiveness within my heart toward anyone, again, that my Heavenly Father will not forgive me of my trespasses. And so we do see the significance of wanting and needing to extend forgiveness toward others. In Luke 17, verses 3 and 4, Luke 17, 3 and 4, Jesus again talks about forgiveness, and this time the frequency of it. You know, sometimes we like to put a some kind of a cap on it. You know, I'm going to extend forgiveness, but only this many times. And Jesus, he doesn't give us any kind of a cap that we are to put on forgiveness. Notice what he says in Luke 17 and 3 and 4. Jesus said, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." Jesus sets the bar very high, but it's something we want to be aware of as to how often do we extend forgiveness to others. Jesus says, even if your brother sins against you seven times in a day, and those seven times he comes and he says, "I repent," and he wants that forgiveness from us, Jesus says, you shall forgive him. I've never been sinned against by the same person seven times in a day, and I think that as we're looking at the teachings of Christ, we see that even if that were the case, that every time that he comes back and says, "I repent," that we must not withhold forgiveness from that person, but we shall forgive them. I want you to look also at the words of Peter in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21. And one of the things Peter asked, he asked that question about how many times shall I forgive my brother? And notice what he says in verse 21. He says, Peter said to him, came to him and said, Lord, how often shall I forgive, or how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times. You know, you think about that number that Peter threw out there. The idea of seven times, you know, for a lot of controversies that have happened between individuals, sometimes they don't even sin against each other that much. Maybe it was only one or two times, and they won't speak to each other anymore. They've severed the ties with one another, and they just will not extend forgiveness. And so as you think about the number that Peter is suggesting to the Lord, how about up to seven times? You know, seven is a good number to maybe put a cap on my forgiveness, and that if they sin it up to that seven times, then no more forgiveness whatsoever. And so seven times, perhaps in the minds of many, seems like it's a pretty high number. But Jesus said in verse 22, his answer was, that I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, of course, we know that Jesus was not being literal by saying 490 is the actual number, as though every time someone sins against us, we are to take tally marks and keep track of that. But rather, Jesus is teaching that forgiveness does not have a max out point. It's not like a credit card that has a maximum point that you can max it out to, and then you're done. Instead, forgiveness is something that we continue to extend as often as the person comes back and says, I repent. Now, Jesus made that clear. We saw that just a moment ago in Luke 17, 3 and 4, especially verse 4, where he says, even if it's seven times in a day, that every time we shall indeed forgive them. Now, continuing our passage over there in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus gives a parable illustrating that point of forgiveness. Now, in this parable, we find that a king is wanting to settle his accounts with his servants, and there was a certain servant that owed him. You'll notice in verse 24, he owed him 10,000 talents. And in verse 25, he says he was not able to pay, and his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And the master of that servant was moved with compassion. He released him and forgave him that debt. And so we find this servant, he had a huge debt that he could not pay upon his own. He had the heart in the right place. He said, you know, be patient with me and I'll pay it all. Well, as optimistically as he sounded, and perhaps maybe even his heart, he was sincere about trying to make the payment on that. He just simply was not going to be able to. And so the master of this servant, moved with compassion, said, we're just going to forget this debt. And so the servant goes out. We see this in verse 28. In verse 28, Jesus continues. He says that servant went out, and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands upon him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. But he would not, but he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So his fellow servants saw that what had been done. They were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. I'm going to pause there just for a sec. We're going to take up verse 32 in just a sec. But one of the things you see here, the servant went out to this other servant of his, or fellow servant with him, owed him just a small amount, 100 denarii, very small amount compared to the amount he owed his master. And so, in very similar words, he falls down at his feet and he says, you know, begging him, have patience with me, I will pay you all. Now, that sounds very familiar, because that's what the servant, the first servant, said to his master. And of course, his master was moved with compassion. But as the servant went out, he found no such compassion in his heart for his fellow servant. In verse 32, the master brings this unforgiving servant before him once again. Verse 32. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. You should not have, compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. And then I want you to note verse 35. Verse 35 is where Jesus makes the commentary on this parable that he had just given. Notice what he says. This is the application that we take away from it. Jesus says in verse 35, "So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." And so there is the qualification that we must be forgiving toward others. If we do not, that what we saw in this that happened to the unforgiving servant will happen to us when our Heavenly Father, we stand before Him in judgment. If we have not from our very hearts forgiven our brothers their trespasses, neither will God forgive us. And so we have that great commandment that Jesus gives with the great teaching that He gives to us there in Matthew 18, 21 through 35. And when we're looking at this, it shows us the kind of people we certainly need to be. We need to be forgiving toward others. I want us to also consider some examples of forgiveness that we see within the Scriptures. Think about over in Genesis chapter 50, if you'll thumb over there with me, Genesis chapter 50. We find the very conclusion of the story of Joseph. Now, we remember the story of Joseph, just a very brief summarization of that. We remember that Joseph was sold by his brothers. His brothers were very envious of Joseph, and so they sold him off into slavery. And while he was in slavery, he eventually arose to power, to being really second only to Pharaoh. And, of course, now there's a famine in the land, and his brothers come to him wanting mercy. And Joseph, of course, he is harsh with them at first, but he eventually gives them and helps them gives them the things that they need, and he reveals himself to them. And so here's some years have gone by, and they're now afraid because their father had passed away. And so here they are before Joseph, and they believe Joseph is now going to take revenge upon them selling him into Egypt. Notice what it says. Again, we're going to begin in Genesis 50 and verse 15. It says, "When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all of the evil which we did to him.' And so they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, 'Before your father died, he commanded, saying, Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive their trespass, the trespass of the servants of God, the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him." And then his brothers also went in, we find in verse 18, "fell down before his face, and they said, 'Behold, we are your servants.'" And notice what Joseph said. Joseph could have been vindictive. He could have been unforgiving, but notice his reaction to his brothers. Joseph said to them, verse 19, he said, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph had every reason in the world that we would look at it from a human standpoint, to be vindictive, to be in a place of power and authority, and to be able to repay the evil to his brothers that they did unto him. But Joseph did not take that route. Joseph was one that extended forgiveness to them. And he said, "You know, I am not in the place of God. You meant this evil against me," but he's looking at the big picture, that God meant this for good, and good things came out of it. It reminds us of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, "All things work to the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose." And so Joseph saw it from that perspective, and he extended the forgiveness to his brethren. Look over with me at another passage in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 34, if you would. Luke 23 and verse 34. The greatest example of forgiveness that you will come across in the Word of God is when Jesus was upon the cross of Calvary. He had many people that were coming by, and they were saying all kinds of derogatory things against him. And they had placed him upon this cross, this cruel punishment, this cruel death that he was in agony over. And even in the most intense part of this suffering, you'll notice the words of Christ in verse 34. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." You know, a lot of people have been crucified to a cross over the centuries. And one of the things that you'll find that is pretty common when a person is crucified is that they are speaking all kinds of bitterness and cursings against the ones that have put them there. And so it's very unique when you come to Christ and you look at Luke 23 and verse 34. When Jesus is upon the cross, his heart is not filled with bitterness. His heart is not vindictive toward those who had put him there, but rather he is unique. And he is praying a prayer of mercy and compassion, and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Jesus not only commands us to be a forgiving people, but Jesus exemplified that. And he exemplified that at a most intense time of suffering. And so when Jesus asks us, or really commands us, to be a forgiving people, we sometimes look at that and we might think, "Oh, I don't know if I can do it." But if we ever think that we can't, remember the great sacrifice that Jesus made for us, the great amount of forgiveness that he poured out upon the cross and displayed even in his most intense suffering toward others. We want to be a forgiving people because it has been commanded, because it has been exemplified in Scripture before us, but also because it has indeed been extended to us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, in this particular passage, Peter is talking about the blood of Jesus that has redeemed us from our sins. Notice what he says there, beginning in verse 18 of 1 Peter 1. He says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." And so one of the things that we have been redeemed by is the blood of Christ. Jesus has extended that forgiveness by offering his life as a sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. In Ephesians 1 and verse 7, Paul writes this. He says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." It is through the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice he made for us upon the cross, that we have been forgiven of our sins, and through the cleansing of his blood, we can be made pure and holy in the sight of God. The way that we obtain that forgiveness before God is through our obedience to the gospel message. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul describes or defines what the gospel is. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And so Paul describes and defines the gospel message. It is the death, it is the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. The way we obey the gospel is also defined for us in Romans chapter 6, 3 and 4. Paul said this. He says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life." And so we are baptized into Christ. We are baptized into his death. We are raised up out of that watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life. And thus, at that point, the new life begins, and we have at that point been obedient to the gospel message of Christ. And we have obtained forgiveness and cleansing of our soul. For next week, I want to invite you to tune back in with us. We are going to be looking at another important biblical topic. This next week, we'll be looking at the subject of envy, what it is and how we can overcome that, and certainly in our effort to be pleasing unto God. I'd also like to invite you to log on to our website, hiawathacoc.com. There you'll find some information about the Bible, about the church. You'll also be able to submit a Bible question or make a comment about today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. May God bless each of you, and have a great day.